We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
The respect that I have for Matthew, just in who he is as a player, going against him and just kind of being a quarterback guy all my life. And then you put him in that offense. And then, you know, Coach McVay went out and got some other tools too. And I was with Deshaun in Philadelphia. Don't get it twisted. He might be older in age, but he can still blaze. So he, you know, Sean knows that. But I think just I'm sure he's excited, but it's going to be a challenge for us on defense. So we'll have to be ready.
Well, you got to be healthy too, but they're not. That's Matt Nagy. Time to get the latest on the Bears from Adam Hogue, who joins us on our Bears Fridays. He's at Adam Hogue on Twitter, Bears Insider for NBC Sports Chicago, joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Well, Adam, let's get the administrative stuff out of the way. What's the latest? What do we expect from those whose names have appeared on the injured list or the injury report already?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Good morning. I think for the most part, the Bears are going to be healthy. I think just the big concern is Eddie Goldman. I some of these other guys that are listed on there, I do find concerning, and I don't like that Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn are on the injury report, but neither one of them seems to be too significant, at least for this week. I mean, I think in Quinn's case, he's going to have his reps limited anyway, regardless of how healthy he is, because I think that's just part of the Bears' plan to try to get more effective pass rushes out of him when he is on the field. But Eddie Goldman's obviously the big question mark, and I don't feel too optimistic about him playing this week. I think it is a big blow to this Bears defense. Now, if there's any optimism, the Rams have had some issues at center throughout training camp. They've actually swapped their centers out twice now, and the most recent time was like only a week and a half ago or so. So, you know, they have some issues on the interior of their offensive line, and I do think the Bears have depth. And like, for instance, a guy like Angelo Blackson is somebody who I think can kick inside if necessary. And I thought that was actually an underrated signing in the offseason. So I'm not sure that they're going to be as stressed as they were last year trying to fill in Eddie Goldman's spot, like having Bilal Nichols play out of position a little bit, kicking in. Now, he may still have to do that a little bit. I don't know. But I think that the Bears are better equipped to stomach this loss for at least this 1 week if they have to.
Well, and in your update from yesterday, you were saying that Matt Nagy said he felt pretty good about Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, and Darnell Mooney's availability for Sunday. And that's something that I think we need to key in on as well, because I don't think this is going to be the low-scoring game that we've seen between these two teams in the past. I could be very wrong on this. Perhaps it's my optimism, but I still think you need Darnell Mooney healthy.
Well, sure, absolutely, and that's one area that I've stressed throughout training camp. I don't think the Bears are very deep at wide receiver, and I say that acknowledging that they do have a really fast receiver room. Now, they have the speed, but, you know, I'm a big believer that you have to be able to play wide receiver too. There's a difference. You can't just put a bunch of track stars out there. You have to have guys that actually run routes and get open. And I understand the Bears have a lot of speed. I don't know how many actual wideouts they have beyond Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. I do like Mooney, and so it is concerning to see him end up on a back with a back injury here. And by the way, Tashaun Gibson showed up on the injury report yesterday with a back too, and that's always whenever somebody's not on the injury report the first day, pops up the second day. Sometimes that means it happened in practice yesterday, so we might have to get some more clarification on that. I should have mentioned that one earlier. But what's going on with the back? And they need a new chiropractor over there. I mean, there's like four guys on the injury report with back issues right now, and I don't like back problems, mainly because I deal with them myself, and I know how obnoxious they can be, and trying to play football with it does not sound easy.
Hey, man, it could be worse. You could be the Ravens with ACLs.
Yeah, that's definitely worse, for sure, especially when they're happening on back-to-back plays in practice, which I've never heard of ever.
Terrifying.
Let's look at the roster construction and then zoom in for what we know about who made the team to now who's going to be active on game day, looking at positionality here, because I start to think about personnel groupings. And as much as we talk about the wide receivers, you don't keep five tight ends and have two different tight end positions unless you're going to be using two of them a lot or maybe jumbo packages. So how do you think the roster construction informs the game day actives and then personnel grouping tendencies?
No, it's a good question. And I think that specifically with the tight ends, you know, I remember this time last year, the story what we were talking about was how the Bears would have three tight ends on the field. And we actually saw some 13 personnel with three tight ends, and they had some success with it. Now, they didn't end up working out long term, and they got away from it partially because of the guys they had who were, you know, legitimate players, and that was Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet. And teams certainly adjusted. But I do think they do have two good tight ends. I know there's a lot been made about Jimmy Graham still being on this team, and the discussion is fair considering the cap problems the Bears had and the contract that he has right now. But, you know, you don't just keep Jimmy Graham because he's a good mentor for Cole Kmet. That is part of it, but you also keep him because he caught 9 touchdowns last year and you think he can still do that. And so I think especially in the red zone, you're going to see both of those guys on the field. And we'll see how the Rams adjust. I mean, this was something that Bill Lazor talked to us about this week, the Bears offensive coordinator, because the Rams are – some of these teams out there right now in defense, they don't care what your offensive personnel is. They keep 5 defensive backs on the field. Now, the Rams are – at least the Bears think, because the Rams have a new defense coordinator, but the Bears think that the Rams will be a little bit more multiple in how they're – and more willing to change – their personnel on defense from down to down based on what the Bears are doing. But that'll be one of these chess matches that happens within this football game on Sunday night.
We want to remind you that Bears Friday on the Score is presented by Window Works with half price savings at mywindowworks.com. And the defense got the mic earlier and we heard from Robert Quinn too, and he's expressed sadness about the injury that he had, and I'm curious how much we think it's going to hamper him come game time again. Different injury, but still, he wanted to not play hurt this first game, and to see him on that list is a little disheartening.
Yeah, and we talked to him. It may have even been the first day the Bears reported training camp, but it was within the first couple days, and that was immediately what he was talking about, how last year was in the past, and he's healthy now, and then, like, 3 days after that, he was missing practice with something. So, you know, look, this is football. It's the NFL. And guys that have been in this league that long, for a decade, they usually have nagging injuries. And it's that part of it's not surprising to me. The part of it that, and this is kind of going back now, but the part of it that was surprising to me is that the Bears paid him the money they did at the age he was at, when his career showed that he was primarily a 4-3 defensive end, not a 3-4 outside linebacker, and has had more success on turf, not grass. I mean, these were all things that were out there. But hey, that's we've talked about that endlessly at this point. He's still on the roster. He's still getting paid. There's nothing you can do with his contract. And so now it's just the management. This is not going away. I think this is going to be an issue probably every week. I think most weeks he'll be able to play. He'll probably be limited in practice a lot. And you just hope that Sean Desai can use him properly and get as much out of him as possible. Because I will say, as much as he had a bad year last year, and that is accurate, there were times where I thought he had very effective rushes. So I think what the Bears' plan is, how can we keep him as healthy as possible? How can we limit his snaps within the game to keep him as healthy as possible? And then put him out there in situations, probably, you know, situationally as a pass rusher, to go make big splash plays when they are needed. And I think that's probably what you're going to try to see the Bears do. But then that puts a lot of stress on guys like Jeremiah Tachu, who's a veteran, but, you know, borderline starter throughout his career as an outside linebacker. And then you got to really, really hope, and I think this is a big key to the Bears defense this season, actually, that Trevis Gibson, the draft pick from last year, all of a sudden shows up and is a guy that you can play a lot and rely on. That would be a huge development for the Bears defense this year if that happens.
Got a little bit of breaking baseball news. Breaking news on the Score brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Protect your privacy online for free with DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, who covers the Red Sox on their beat, says Chris Sale has tested positive for COVID, will not make his scheduled start Sunday. So that was part of the Chicago homecoming, and that will not be part of it because COVID-19 continues to ravage the Boston Red Sox. And this is what we talked about. This is a lesson for NFL teams as well about the importance of vaccination and what they can do, because it is a competitive disadvantage to have these issues.
Wow. Yes, it is. And that's not going away. Yep. And I am fascinated to see which teams at what point end up having outbreaks, because it's going to happen. I don't think it'll be as bad as last year, but there are going to be times where guys pop up on the COVID list. Now, it's been quiet for the Bears in that aspect as of late, and you just got to hope that that's a trend that continues. But I know that these coaches are still, you know, on high alert. They got their depth charts that they're going over and their practice squads. I mean, the practice squad flexibility is huge. It's last year's rules. This is something fans should know. Not only are there 16 guys on the practice squad, but there's more veterans that you're allowed to have on there, and you're allowed to call up two on game day. So that does give you the flexibility. It's almost like a minor league squad. You could just pull from your AAA on game day to get a spot start. That type of stuff is probably going to continue this season.
Yeah, that was big White Sox and Red Sox news. And Adam, I know you spent some time as a White Sox insider, so kind of appropriate that we broke that news with you. I am amused by this Cabo story kind of picking up like it did in the last 24 hours. I joked that I haven't heard this much about Cabo in the NFL since Tony Romo and Jessica Simpson. We won't talk about the results of that the next week for the parties in Cabo who played football, because it still bothers me. But in this case,
I can't think about Cabo because I was there when the Bears had the Chris Conte game against the Packers. I watched that from a beachside villa in Cabo, and that'll be my Bears memory. A fabulous trip, and it's ruined by that Bears memory.
Yeah, Tony Romo fumbled the snap on my honeymoon against the Seahawks. I should have known then that things were not going to end well for me. But all of that said, Adam, the Bears head coach Matt Nagy, along with apparently Sean McVay and also Kyle Shanahan, were all in Cabo at the same time, and that's when everybody learned about Matt Stafford being traded. That's a very interesting story.
Dan, I thought you were going to say you were in Cabo too when Matthew Stafford got traded.
I did too, yeah.
I didn't get the invite. I wish I had. It sounds like a good time. I heard Mully and Haw talk about this a little bit earlier today and compare it to the NFL's version of The Bachelor, and Matthew Stafford ended up giving the rose to Sean McVay. I thought that was a good way to put it. Look, this is not a coincidence, guys. It's just not. And here's what I could tell you about what the Bears were doing. You know, as soon as that press conference ended, that disastrous press conference with Ted Phillips and George McCaskey in January, while we spent about a week talking about it and going over that, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy immediately went to their office and they started working on quarterbacks. And that was the focus. That was the big focus of the offseason. And they looked at every single option that could have potentially been available. They watched tape on all these guys. And it eventually led to the Bears signing Andy Dalton and drafting Justin Fields. So I think where they sit now as they go into the season, they're feeling pretty good because they ended up with Justin Fields. But if you rewind back to January and all of a sudden it starts to get – we know this stuff now, but it was being made behind the scenes very obvious. And Matthew Stafford's agent is Tom Condon, and I think he was probably driving some of this. Hey, look. The Lions are probably trading Matthew Stafford, and they created a little bit of a bidding war. And somewhere along the line, it was Matthew Stafford's going to be in Cabo. So you might want to get to Cabo if you're interested. And so it's not a coincidence that Matt Nagy was there. Sometimes we ask questions that we already know the answer to. I honestly did not know when I asked that question yesterday that Matt Nagy was in Cabo, but it doesn't surprise me that he was, because as we learn more and more about this story, this is not a coincidence that Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt Nagy, Sean Payton, a lot of quarterback needy head coaches were in Cabo at the same time as what turned out to be, in my opinion, the biggest quarterback trade that happened in the offseason. And I think it was just the Bears doing their due diligence. Good for them. And someday we're going to hear I love this story, by the way. I think it's the best offseason story. I can't wait till somebody, and maybe I'll down the line have the time to do it, but digs into this more and gets all the inside scoop on the the great weekend in Cabo with Matthew Stafford.
But I'm laughing because of this text that just came in from the 608. The Chris Conti play ruined your vacation? Well, my dad had a heart attack and died after that play. Okay, you win, I guess. I guess you one-upped me on that one. I guess I gotta give it to you. 608, congrats. I'll concede on that one. Way to go.
Oh yeah, and like some guy just said, "Oh, it's all about you." And I'm like, "We were all just telling stories, but way to selectively listen, sweetheart."
Hey,
like,
Adam,
whatever.
Adam,
Cabo brings problems for football teams, but I would totally go if I was Matt Nagy. I'd be like, "Wait, Matthew Stafford is there, and I just did this horrible press conference, and it's Cabo. See you guys later."
Hey, how do we start this narrative about the presumption of a Justin Fields package of plays? I don't know how it happened over the week. Like, it just began as this idea that, well, sure, Sean McVay has to be preparing for this. And then there was like I think it was Mike Lombardi who told Molly and Haw that it would be negligence if they didn't have that in there, or they're already the Rams are practicing for it, whether or not they know. And I don't know how we kind of got here with this without any evidence or information.
Yeah, well, I will agree with you that there's no concrete evidence that the Bears are going to do this. I certainly understand where Sean McVay is coming from. Hey, look, you know, Sean McVay is like the rest of us, and pretty much the rest of the league is like the rest of us. They all saw what Justin Fields did in the preseason, and it's common sense that he's probably already the Bears' most talented offensive player on the roster, and he's going to be on the bench. I mean, I think that's where this is coming from. It's almost like in the same way we talk about this every day, it's like, really? And so if you're preparing to play the Bears this week, you're probably at least spending some time making sure your defense is ready in case that really talented player comes onto the field. I mean, you just kind of have to do that if you're a coach. And you know, it starts with Sean McVay getting asked about it. He answers about it honestly. That kind of starts the conversation. I don't know if I'd say it's negligence if the Bears don't do it. I think it's a pretty good idea. I think there's certainly this is not a controversial opinion or sentence at all. I mean, Justin Fields just can do things that stress the defense in ways that Andy Dalton cannot. So if that helps you win a football game, do it. I think
or start him at quarterback.
And that gets to the point, Dan. Right. So which I think is what you were getting to with your question. Yes, everything I just said makes a lot of sense, but what the Bears are doing, a lot of it doesn't make sense. So it would also not be surprising if the game ends, the Bears lose, and Justin Fields plays zero snaps. So that's where it's sort of continually been this battle between what everybody seems to be seeing with their eyes and what the Bears are actually going to do in the game.
Two texts that I think are pretty important here. Number one, everybody on the text line, Adam, is now giving their Conti stories, which I think are pretty interesting and also sad, apparently. So if you have one, now is your time to vent about that game. And then additionally, a really good question from 847 that I think stands to be discussed. How are the Bears treating the quarterback room with COVID? Are they keeping Fields and Dalton separate? Or if Dalton gets it, are they playing Foles instead? Do you have any familiarity with that? I feel like that's a really good question.
No, it is a great question. I mean, my understanding is the Bears quarterback room is fully vaccinated. So, you know, that helps, obviously. I think that I have noticed more players wearing, and this probably has something to do with the governor's order too. I mean, I have noticed more people are wearing masks around the building continually, players too. So, you know, I think that they're taking this seriously, and they have to, because the last thing you want is, and this goes for any team, is just your quarterback to all of a sudden not be available on game day. And I think that's part of why coaches like Mike Zimmer up in Minnesota are so frustrated with the quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins that are just, and who knows what's going on there, but it doesn't make any sense. There's no logic. And at the end of the day, you would think, regardless of the politics or whatever involved in this, you have a better chance to win football games if you just do the right things and you get the shot and you take care of yourself, you wear a mask, and you make sure that this doesn't spread within the building. So I think teams are taking it seriously, whether or not every single player is. That's just, I think, going to be a continual battle.
Adam Hoge, thank you as always. We enjoy your presence on these Bears Fridays. This may be our last most optimistic Bears Friday until Justin Fields gets his chance.
You're probably right, but I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate that.
That is Adam Hoge of NBC Sports Chicago. When we come back, I want you to hear a discussion. We'll eavesdrop on the Athletic Football Show, Robert Mays and Nate Tice, with some thoughts on the Bears' offense, some concerns on the defense. It's smart people talking football and giving us a little different perspective on the eve of the Bears' 2021 season. That's straight ahead on The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Juan, to me, is maybe the best developer of talent in the NFL. You know, and at his position, it's awesome. So, you know, we put mid-round picks in there, late-round picks in there that have gotten a lot better because they've been forced to play a lot.
Okay. Well, who knew? So when they got Juan Castillo off the scrap heap, but he was kind of out of football, they gave him a job. That guy who didn't have a job was the best developer of talent in the NFL.
And apparently not Harry Hiestand in his track record.
Guess not. Well, the offensive line is an issue. We know it is. Maybe the defensive line as well. We like to bring in outside perspectives on the Bears to give you a little taste of what is being said out there. So let's do that now on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show on this Bears Friday. And this is Robert Mays and Nate Tice on the Athletic Football Show. And they start out talking a little bit about the problems with their offensive line scheming and what that does to complicate the offense. And then you'll hear Robert Mays discussing what he thinks about the other side of the ball.
It's really scary to watch this Bears offensive line just point out protections and just get things lined up. We're not even talking about the Justin Fields getting his head taken off a couple weeks ago. And that we've talked about, it could have been center, could have been quarterback, but it's like, whatever. They had the point wrong. Whoever decides it had the point wrong. This past week, he got the ball out. It was a quick hitch. I'm going to write about it in a couple of days, but he throws a quick hitch and on the protection, it's one of the most obvious looks where the offensive line, it was a five-man protection on this, and a five-man protection, the offensive line is going to three-man slide away from the backside. It's just how the math works out. But no one changed it. It was one of the most obvious looks that a center, who is going to be their starting center, didn't change it. And it's like preseason, this should have been a nice rep, easy rep for him. And Fields got the ball out because he's a quick operator, even though people say he hangs on the ball. No, he's not. He's a quick operator, gets the ball out, and the guy would have been a clean shot on him. And that is really scary to me now that it's been 3 weeks in a row that any time they've gotten empty protection, five-man protection, they've had clean free runners on looks that there shouldn't be free runners. That's what's scary. And now you have starters playing and they're missing it. And I get it. It's preseason. This is good. That's the optimist. You always go, oh, it's good film. It's good teaching film. You know, it's good teaching film. We'll teach it. Now it's good. We got it on film. Now we can teach off of it because they're in the game. But it's like, you've had good teaching film for a couple of weeks now. So that's got to get fixed. And that's a little scary to me that if the mental side isn't there along with the physical abilities, that can lead to a lot. And that's kind of the Bears offense the last few years.
No one gets better.
Where's the coach? The receivers, I posted them today. The receivers are short on routes. Like, and that's what's making Fields look late. And I am going to be some Fields defender there or quarterback defender there. But it's like, I would call that out if that was wrong. There's no receiver in the world that has run a 3 yard out route, even on a quick out. And that's supposed to be a 10 yard out route. And that's like those little things. That's why the Bears offense always looks so hard. Because if the personnel isn't there, at least coach it up. How many times has Kyle Shanahan made scrub receivers or running backs look decent because they all know where to freaking line up and how deep to run their routes. It's like that's where the kind of coaching comes into play. So
Marquez Callaway looks like a monster for the Saints. Like it just there is none of that. It doesn't happen. And that's the most frustrating part is that even if we're excited about him, nothing else has changed. The way that they approach their offense, the way that this coaching staff operates, what we get out of offensive players in this franchise, none of that has changed. Everything else is the same. Justin Fields is just here. And that's why it's hard for me to work up a lot of enthusiasm about it because I just have such little faith in the support system around him. So it's going to hang over it until it doesn't, right? I mean, it's going to be a concern until it shouldn't be anymore. And that's why I just don't know how to exactly feel about this season. Like, I hope he looks good. I don't really know what to expect otherwise offensively. On defense.
Dread.
Dread. I mean, I am a little bit concerned. It's you try to balance this excitement you have for this guy with this concern that you have for everything else around him.
Yep.
And that's what I have right now. So let's look at the defense, because I think that's the other huge question, right? Is can this group rebound under Sean Desai? Because if you look at the way things were trending during the second half of last season, they were going in the wrong direction. Over the second half of the year, this team finished 20th in EPA per play on defense, and they're getting worse. You lose a guy like Kyle Fuller. You lose depth guys like Roy Robertson Harris. You get Eddie Goldman back, which is nice. But for the most part, the personnel on this defense hasn't improved. I was talking to Kevin Fishbane today, who's one of our Bears writers at The Athletic, and I was asking him, who do you think how the corners are going to shake out? And he kind of threw up his hands. It's like, it's August 30th. This is still a question.
Don't even feel.
But it is. And I mean, obviously he had an answer, but it wasn't a satisfactory answer.
Oof. Terrifying.
Yeah, those are smart guys who are well-connected in NFL circles and have been for a long time. Nate Tice, if you're asking, is the son of Mike Tice. Nate was a offensive quality control coach with the Raiders after being a quarterback at Wisconsin for a while. This is the idea of it looking hard gets back to what we're talking about, how it just doesn't look like it looks with other teams when you're throwing to open guys in rhythm. There's something about the Bears offense that always seems to work against itself, and you feel the grinding of gears, and it just doesn't look the same.
It also goes back and illustrates points that Brian Baldinger has brought up. When Baldy goes over film, the idea of where the offensive line is pulling, where they're blocking, why aren't they blocking the closest pressure that is to them in certain sets? And that was very telling to me. Tice goes into it more on his YouTube channel. The illustration, I think, with the video is really good.
It's good. It's like 7 minutes long. But he goes through the film with you and stops the tape and highlights what to look for and why certain guy, what the protection is, who's pointed out as the mic, where they're turning or not turning the protection. And he points out that the Bears are doing some things that just to him look wrong.
And it's not just him. That's the point. It is a lot of people in the NFL when they look at the tape and they try to figure out what the Bears are doing. And if that's the scheme, I don't know. I just don't know. And think about how much we saw blitzes not picked up last night, by the way. How many times I was watching Dak Prescott get hit as he was thrown, for example.
But he hung in there, man. And he knew who the open guy was multiple times. If they would send pressure off the corner, that was pitch and catch with the open guy. And he hung in and took the hits.
I will take, as a receiving core, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb over Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. I will. I love Allen Robinson, but still. The weapons are not the same. And all of it concerns me. But if you start at the line and the line is flawed by the beginning of the play, how does it get better after that?
The way that they approach their offense, the way that this coaching staff operates, what we get out of offensive players in this franchise, none of that has changed. Everything else is the same. Justin Fields is just here. And that's why it's hard for me to work up a lot of enthusiasm about it because I just have such little faith in the support system around him.
Yikes.
I get it. I mean, it's hard to say, wait a second, you're wrong, and here's why.
It just doesn't bode well. And if we're talking about it, you sure can believe that the Rams coaching staff is talking about it.
The Rams coaching staff is probably well ahead of you. That is
no way. They breaking news.
I'm still, there's going to be surprises. I know that the Bears think that they also have something cooked up, that there's going to be something different, but it's not going to be like a Scott Frost response and Sean McVay will say, "Oh, okay, you're doing this. All right, well, we see it and we'll figure it out." And if the Bears think they've got something special and super top double secret that they're going to just spring on them, I know they're going to try. I just know from my experience they do that and then there's a procedure penalty. And they had their big special super play and like, "Oh, look, that hit for 27 yards." And they say, "Oh, you had two guys moving at the time and it's an illegal shift and it's a 5-yard penalty," because that's the way this particular cookie always tends to crumble. But we have the Midday Midway coming up and that's nice. I have the official shark of the I'm Fat podcast.
The official shark. Did they have an official shark before?
They do now. They do now. This will be worth a segment for them, and I have not told either one of them about it. I have held this back, and I'm going to spring it on them. And at some point, Jay Zawoski, during the segment, is going to post the picture to our Twitter feed, and everybody's going to love it.
You know that stupid song, "If You Hate Paradise, Put Up a Parking Lot"?
And no, they paved Paradise.
Oh, yeah,
I
hate it. I hate that song.
It's Joan Baez, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't care. I hate the song.
I think it's Joan Baez who was redone by Counting Crows, right?
Yeah, I hate the Counting Crows version.
Or Joni Mitchell. I don't know. I get them confused. Well, maybe it's Javier Baez.
If you hate potholes, plant a tree and see what happens.
I'm not an idiot.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bears.
The first half or the second half. You know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
This Bears Friday started out with a bang, with a call from Dallas, Texas, from a man who calls himself Skillet.
People love Skillet.
I think so. I think he's got a following already. He has bet the Bears to win the Super Bowl. He has bet the Bears getting the 7.5, and he now is going to go back and he's going to bet him to win outright.
No, he didn't say that. We tried to convince him.
He was going to. He said he was going to go back to the window and bet more. He's got a lot of disposable income, and he's looking to cash in and make $5,000 on a Bears Super Bowl victory, and he's very excited. He didn't remember exactly why he's called Skillet. But you said the number checks out, the area code checked out, the accent works, and maybe Skillet will continue to be a presence on Bears Fridays and or Mondays. We talked NFL with Adam Hogue. We also heard the opinions of Nate Tice and Robert Mays from the Athletic Football Show about the Bears offense and defense, and it's a little scary, I guess.
A little? So, okay. There's debate going on about whose song that really is. But either
it's
way.
It's Joni Mitchell. Big Yellow Taxi is the name.
I heard the Counting Crows song and I hated it and thought it was dumb. That doesn't mean I like the Counting Crows or hate the Counting Crows. It just means
like
this particular song was not my cup of tea. But I did find the comparison kind of interesting because stop me when you've heard this one before, Dan. A Florida man gets annoyed by something. So he decides to go around the edges of the law. But instead of breaking the law and being destructive, he is constructive and does something environmentally friendly.
Go on.
A Florida man was annoyed by potholes, so he planted a banana tree in the road.
Cool. I know there was in Chicago a couple of years ago, somebody was doing pothole art.
Aw,
and was
cute.
And was doing it. Sounds like a guy's nickname. I'm Pothole Art from Elmwood Park. No,
I hang out with Skillet from Texas. Right. Steve-O in the bucket. Come say hi every now and then.
So somebody was just doing like little miniature art installations and making things in potholes. But you're right. That's cool. I don't know if a banana tree in Florida in a pothole can survive with its root structure, but.
Well, guess what? It looked pretty healthy. So this guy's name is Brian Raymond, and he planted the tree in a stubborn pothole along Honda Drive just off of US 41 South in Fort Myers. He owns Progress and Pride Fitness Group, and he said the idea of planting a bananas tree ripened in his mind after having to fill holes in the street with cement multiple times because it's a private road. So officials said, according to the law, it's up to the business owners to maintain the street. And it's a big tree. It's probably 5.5-6 feet tall.
Where is the pothole in the street?
The middle.
Oh, okay. So cars can or cannot get by.
They just kind of drive around it or drive through other potholes. Perhaps that was the deepest one. But
he made a rotunda.
He did. And he said, if we have to maintain it and make sure nobody gets hurt, we're going to put something obvious there to make sure nobody gets in the hole. So he decided to plant a banana tree. And it looks pretty good.
There's a huge pothole on my way home on Campbell, just north of Addison by Lane Tech. It's right over on the left in front of the entrance to Bradley 2 on Patterson. It is a big, it's a widow maker of a pothole. And it's hard to avoid. It's easy to see when you're coming north. It's not as easy to see when you're coming south. But just beware. It's a bad one. It needs a banana tree.
I don't know the banana tree survive up here. What with the freezing weather and all.
Well, then it needs a pine tree. Put a Douglas fir in there.
Oh, that sounds ambitious. You got to worry about the root systems. But the banana tree looks good. I just think they're good-looking trees in general.
And I like bananas, too.
Yes, so multiple purposes have been served, and something environmentally sound and smart happened in Florida.
When naval officers pulled it out of the water, they discovered what appeared at first glance to be a shark actually had a face that better resembled that of a pig.
Same.
And this is quite a picture. I had never heard of this particular fish, the extremely rare angular rough shark. The sailors were creeped. The body of a shark, the face of a pig, and they saw it in the Darsena Medicea Marina in the town of Porto Ferraio on the Italian island of Elba. Island of Elba notable for being anyone, Bueller, anyone, Isle of Elba.
Why is where it, Idris is from.
Why is it significant in history?
It's there. It was mapped out. Recorded into history.
And it was the notable place of exile for
Odysseus.
No, Napoleon. It was when Napoleon abdicated his throne. He was exiled to the Isle of Elba. But that's not why you called. So they pulled this out of the water and they looked at it. And they realized it wasn't some kind of mutant. It was an angular rough shark and is also sometimes known as a pig-faced shark.
Pig-faced shark, do-do-do-do-do-do. Pig-faced shark, do-do-do-do-do-do. Pig-faced shark, do-do-do-do-do. Pig-faced shark.
It lives 2,300 feet below the surface. It is listed as endangered. It is rarely spotted. And there are different pictures of this now that have gone viral. And people were worried that it was captured and killed on purpose. It was taken to the harbor office to be studied, and then it was disposed of. It is uncommonly called a pigfish because when it comes out of the water, it also emits a kind of grunt. Not to be confused with a fish called a grunt.
Connor O'Donnell, who's one of the most pleasant people in the world, is mad at us now.
Why? What do we do?
We sang the song. Oh. He's on Twitch saying, please never do that again.
Run away, do. I know all the verses, too.
And there's a new Ted Lasso episode, and you know what that means. Tart, do.
And this is not to be confused. The pig-faced shark, if you've been listening to this show a long time, you might not to be confused with the pig-faced man. The pig-faced man in Jacksonville.
Hogman?
Well, we just called him the pig-faced man.
That's not very nice.
We didn't call it to his face, but we discovered him when we were covering the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. And this guy at the time was like the Jacksonville sports radio guy.
Did he have white stitched jeans on and affliction?
No.
Chunky bracelet?
His clothes barely contained him. And he always had the stub of a really thick cigar in the corner of his mouth. And every day, like, we'd start our show, and then the times didn't quite sync up, and he'd come walking in with his entourage, and Terry would just say, look, here comes the pig-faced man. It's Terry. That was like how we almost got in a fight with Tampa Sports Radio that one year. Sports animal. Terry, like, oh, look at him. He's really tough and has hot takes. He's the sports animal. It was just...
The guy got so mad.
I don't understand why there are so many fights and near fights on Radio Row between radio stations.
I know, it's so dumb, but he would always announce the arrival, and then when he would leave, he's like, and there goes the pig-faced man. I gotta find him. What was his name? I think it's... David Lamb?
Too much testosterone.
Is he alive?
Territorial.
No, this guy was just too much, pad thai or whatever he liked. But this was
pad thai sounds awesome.
Yeah, you don't want to look like this though. I don't know if he's still alive or not. He's not a healthy man, the pig face.
People
man.
Like that live a long time.
Why?
Because it's just the law.
Because it's not fair.
Yes, life is not fair.
Oh, here he is. Yeah, that's the dude. That's on one of his better days, too.
Stand by. I'm going to walk over and observe this picture.
Okay. Come here. All right, come here.
Well,
see, this is...
You're not wrong.
Whoa. See, that's it. Now, see what I mean? About that? It's not genes and the affliction.
You mean about his face.
Well, no.
No,
like,
you are.
No, we're not.
Yes.
Come on.
No.
Maybe we're a little mean. I mean, the Boars and Bernstein show kind of had a brand that way. It was kind of our thing, because he would say it out loud. Well, look, we were in the airport one time going to Tucson, and some guy had like leprosy, and he came.
The hell!
Yeah, like his face was falling off.
I want to hear the rest of the story?
It looked like the Incredible Melting Man, and he had all these like lesions on his face, and he comes.
That is awful.
Just wait, I know, and he comes walking in. Terry's just sitting there, and out of nowhere, Terry goes, "That man made a rash decision." Dude,
I can't take you anywhere.
And then it wasn't the same trip, but that was the legend of the cart. there was a woman who was so obese that she couldn't transport herself and like couldn't fit in a wheelchair. So they put her on a flatbed to like get her around the airport. And of course,
was this in Florida?
No. No, where were we? I don't know which trip this was. Yeah, here you are walking around like a chump.
Where's my flatbed?
You could call for the cart.
You know, this is getting real score tailsy.
Sorry.
Do we want to do some producing on the fly here? Because it's four minutes to the hour.
Terry in airports is its own bit.
Well, what are we doing at 11? Matt Miller is ill.
Matt Miller's under the weather.
It's not COVID.
He is.
Okay.
He got a tummy ache.
Aw.
I'm not making fun of him.
He got the bubble guts.
He does not have...
That happens. Do we want to just roll into that at 11? Break up the Bears talk?
Do score tales?
The random ones that don't require a lot of production value?
Oh, the one we talked about last week about the mail?
That needs to happen.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
You want to do that next? We'll just do a bunch of that.
Producing on the fly. It is a Friday. It can't all be Bears talk. We will get to some baseball, but that's later. Score tales, because I requested it, is next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.